Okay, so I want to answer something so you're not distracted. The whole message, what did he do to his finger? I'll explain sometime during the sermon. So that's going to keep you interested and waiting. I had somebody, they asked me this morning, what did you do? And I said, it's in the sermon and I'll tell you about it. It's going to happen a little later in the sermon. And they said, oh no, the whole time I'm going to be thinking, hurry up, get to the finger part, get to the finger part. The finger part is coming. Anyway, if I were to ask you to give me one descriptive word of the tower in Pisa, Italy, what would it be? Leaning. Okay? The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Anybody know why the Tower of Pisa leans? I mean, it continues to lean, and they bring engineers and workers in, and they continue to prop it back up, but they don't make it straight. They keep it slightly tilted because tourists travel from all over the world to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And if they made it straight, I mean, who's going to come and see the, you know, the perpendicular Tower of Pisa? But so they keep it leaning, but they have to keep working on it to keep it leaning at just the angle that it doesn't fall over. Why does it lean in the first place? Foundation failure. Okay, the foundation that was put in was not adequate for the tower that they built, and it tilted. Jesus said that our lives are a lot like a structure, that the foundation in our lives are necessary. The proper foundation is necessary for us to have a life that stands, that doesn't tilt, that doesn't lean, that doesn't collapse when the storms come. We're going through a series this summer called The Parables of Jesus, and a parable is just basically a simple story that illustrates a spiritual truth. And we're looking at a short one today. It's a builder's parable. It's one that I can relate to. And I want us to stand. It's only 3-4 verses long. And read this parable that Jesus shares in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Jesus says, therefore, let's read together. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You may be seated. So you notice last week when we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan, we spent some time looking into the context first, because there was a lawyer that came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus used that parable as an answer to the question. So we needed to understand the context even before we looked at the parable itself. Today's parable is not an answer to a question. Nobody came to Jesus and said, how should I build my house? And he gives this parable in answer to it. Nobody asks him a question. In fact, Jesus uses this as a conclusion to a message that he has given. And so I want to turn things around a little bit today. Since the context, the question is not the important part here, I want to look at the parable first, and then we'll go back and look at the context that Jesus shared this simple story in. And it's very simple. Jesus just compares two people building a house. One person builds on the sand, the other person builds on the rock. We're not talking, I don't think, about different locations. It's not like one person is building at the beach and building on the sand, and the other person is building up in the mountains where all the rocks are. What we're talking about is the depth of the foundation. It's typical. You look around here and you've typically got the topsoil or the sandy loam on the surface, and you dig a little deeper and then you get into the solid hard clays and the solid soils, and then you go even deeper and you get down into the rocky stuff. And so what Jesus is talking about is maybe two people building in the same subdivision. But one builder decides that, you know, it's summertime, and he stamps on the ground, and it feels hard, and it's not going to take nearly as much time, so I'm just going to dig down into this sandy stuff here and put my foundation at this level. Whereas the other builder goes through the sand, through the clay, and down into the rock, and he digs deeper and deeper and works harder and harder. One person takes the easy way. The other person invests time and effort. One person does something that seems okay. The other person does something that he knows is good. And so Jesus is comparing or contrasting these two people building in similar situations. Construction goes along, the houses go up, and everything looks fine. The problems arise when the storms come. And the storms come, and the water, it filters down, and the sand doesn't hold the water. It doesn't cause the water to run off. The water then begins to wash the sand away. And as that happens, and the winds are blowing, the foundation under this house is weakened, and the house collapses. It's got nothing to support it. The work wasn't done at the beginning. You think about foundations. I mean, how many people, when you're out looking at houses, you know, maybe you watch HGTV or something, and you notice, wow, that foundation looks really great. I mean, I don't know of a program that talks about, you know, let's build a foundation. You know, it's all about the things that show, the decorations inside, the style of the house. Foundations are important, even though people don't see them. It's what the thing that we all see rests upon. And we can build upon something that's solid, something that withstands the storms, or we can build on something that's easy, convenient, but doesn't withstand. And so this is the parable that Jesus tells, the story that he shares with his listeners. Just think of these two people building their house, and one does it, puts in a lot of work and goes deep. The other builds where it's easy. And now we get into the application of this. Because Jesus, and Jeff, if we could go to the next slide. Jesus says, therefore, and so this therefore connects what he's saying here with what he said before. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine is like the builder that builds on the solid rock. But it's not just who hears these words of mine, but puts them into practice. And then he goes on and contrasts that, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man. And so it's really important. Jesus doesn't say, everybody who hears what I say, everybody who listens to me, everybody who hears my words, or everybody that hears the word of God, he says, these words of mine. He's very, very specific about the words that he's referring to. And so what are these words that Jesus has just recently spoken? If you are familiar with the layout of the Gospel of Matthew, when we hit Matthew chapter 5, we have Jesus' perhaps most famous message or sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Very good. And it takes up Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7, and it concludes with this parable. And so Jesus is telling his listeners, everybody who hears the words of the Sermon on the Mount and puts them into practice is going to be like this wise builder that goes deep and builds a life that withstands storms. And so for us to really understand what's important here, we've got to go back and look at the Sermon on the Mount. If we want a life that weathers storms, we have to not only hear it, read it, understand it, but apply it. And so just a quick review, Sermon on the Mount, it starts out with the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. It goes on, hungers and thirsts for righteousness. The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted. Now these are the things that Jesus said, prize. We have a definition of blessed in our culture. Now, who would you say is somebody who's blessed? Somebody who's got a good job, high education, good health, successful. What was that, Grace? Well, okay, that's maybe not what the world thinks, okay? Jesus turns what the world thinks upside down. Because if we're poor in spirit, if we're humble before God, if we're mourning, Jesus said, blessed are the mourn, for they'll be comforted. And you see God coming into your life, people coming into your life. These are the people who are blessed. And so Jesus wants us to rethink values, looking at things from God's perspective rather than the world's. And it's not easy because we're conditioned to think a certain way. And Jesus says, no, I want to turn that upside down. And so then he goes on beyond from the Beatitudes into a couple of illustrations. Our purpose. Is that right? Oh, nope, what we pursue. But that's like our purpose in life. When you get up in the morning, tomorrow, go to work, you're going to be thinking of all the things you have to do. Jesus tells his followers, no, wait, you are, first of all, the salt of the earth. And you're the light of the world. Two examples that are very different from each other. Salt, in order to do any good, has to get mixed up with the things that aren't salt. And it blesses, it preserves, it protects. But it doesn't do any good if it stays in the salt shaker. Jesus says, get out into the world and make a difference in the lives of the people around you. Help in their preservation. Be a part of their blessing. But at the same time that you're doing that, remember also that you are the light of the world. Light stands in contrast with darkness. And Jesus uses the example, he says, that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And if you've ever traveled someplace through a dark countryside and you come across the city, maybe if you're driving up I-5, and you kind of go on that long stretch from Centralia and Chehalis up to Olympia. I mean, there's just not much there. And then you hit Olympia and Fort Lewis and Tacoma and Seattle and Everett. And the sky lightens up because you see the city off in the distance. Jesus said that's what we are as followers of Jesus Christ. That we are the light of the world and we stand in contrast apart from displaying the difference in our lives as followers of Christ with the difference of the people in the world. It's an attractive difference. People are drawn to light. And Jesus said, that's our purpose. That's what we pursue. It's not about going to work and making money and acquiring things and being healthy and happy and living to a ripe old age. That each one of us should wake up with the purpose of being salt and being light. And then the sermon continues. And he looks at passages in the Word of God. Jeff, next slide, so without looking at my notes, it's how we process, thank you, how we process the Word of God. And this section of the Sermon on the Mount there talks about our understanding of the word and its application to us. And he says, you have heard it said, you shall not commit murder. But I tell you, Jesus said, that it goes a whole lot deeper. There probably aren't many murderers here. And so we might get to that passage in the scriptures that says, thou shalt not murder, and say, oh, off the hook there, I'm good. But Jesus takes it deeper and he says, but if you have anger in your heart, you're guilty. It's that anger that leads people to murder. That's where the problem is. Then he goes on to the next example. You have heard it said that you should not commit adultery, but I tell you, if you look on a woman with lust, you are guilty. And Jesus takes it from the outward action to the inward attitude that prompts these things. Jesus said that's where it starts, is in the heart. And then he goes on and he talks about divorce and the high standards that, or the extreme standards that divorce is allowed in the kingdom of God. He talks about the importance of us keeping our word, of forgiving one another, of loving even our enemies, and how the word of God goes so much deeper than we think it does. We have this tendency to look at passages in Scripture and say, boy, I know who that applies to. Boy, so-and-so could really use this. Jesus says, no, turn it around. Look inwardly into your heart. Then he continues on with how we process, by how we perform. And he brings up deeds of righteousness. And he looks at three areas: giving, praying, and fasting. As I was thinking about these, you think of giving affects our pocketbook. Praying affects our time, because I think a lot of people, the reason they don't pray is that they're either too busy or too tired, because they've been too busy. And then fasting impacts our stomachs. Three areas of life: our physical, our time, and our money. And Jesus said that when you pray, when you give, when you fast, it's the expectation that we will manage those areas of our lives. But we do so without showing. We don't put on a big display of the things that we're doing. We do it personally. We do it privately. With our giving, we don't let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. When we pray, we don't pray out on the street publicly. When we fast, we don't make a big deal of it and let everybody know how hungry we are. But Jesus expects that we'll be doing these things. And then the remainder of this parable, when he talks about praying, he teaches his disciples the Lord's Prayer. And if you remember that there are three areas in the Lord's Prayer that we ask for things. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he teaches us how we pray. But then he takes the rest of these this sermon, and he develops these three areas of requests. And so you know that give us this day our daily bread, he follows that up with this encouragement not to worry. Not an encouragement, a command. Do not worry. And he uses the example of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And then he goes on and he talks about, develops the forgive us our debts passage by not talking about not judging one another. Remember, beams and specks, don't look at the speck in your brother's eye. Take care of the beam in your own. And then the deliver us from evil, he gets into the giving what's sacred to dogs and throwing pearls to swine. And otherwise, don't do that, otherwise they'll turn on you and devour you. And that's basically the sermon. And Jesus said, whoever hears these words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds on the rock. Now the finger part. So this last Monday on my day off, we were over at our cabin, and I'm building a retaining wall using some rocks on the property to stabilize a hillside that wants to slide down under our deck. So I'm putting the rocks up, and I'm getting towards the end, and there's this one fairly large rock, and I lift it up, and I put it into place, and I think that it's stabilized there, and I let go, and it wasn't. Okay? So, and it tilted very quickly, catching my finger between the rock and the hard place. I responded instinctively. I could have just left it there. Everything would have been fine and said, Lois, could you get me a crowbar or something? You know, I can pry it apart and pull it out. But instinctively, we don't do things like that. It smashes, and at the same time, I'm pulling away. Okay? And I've got the pad on my finger is kind of just flapping there. And I thought, well, I've got three choices. Sorry, Jen. Three choices. I could drive half hour, 45 minutes to a medical facility that's outside my network and get it stitched up. Second choice is I could drive 2 hours to a medical facility that is covered by my insurance and get it stitched up. Third choice, I can tape it back up and go back to work. I chose number three. And then had my doctor see it when we got back into town, and he said, oh, you should have done one or two. And so, you know, wrap it up, and it's going to heal naturally, but it's going to take a little time, and then you'll have a nice scar. And so now this thing is on here to keep me from bending my finger and kind of starting all over again. Today at the back of the church after the benediction, we're shaking hands left-handed today. So just... But what struck me is how the things that we do instinctively aren't always the best. And think about how we react when we face things, like when we mourn or when we're persecuted, like Jesus said in the Beatitudes, we don't think we're blessed. We think that, where's God? How come he's let me go through these things to suffer, to be persecuted, to this sadness? Jesus says, no, no, no. That's the instinctive reaction. The true reaction is that there's blessing here. Because through that mourning, God comes to meet us in our time of need. His people surround us and help us through. We're blessed. But we need to rethink our instinctive reactions to things, the things that we pursue. We don't naturally think that we're going to, today my mission is to be salt and light. No, typically my mission is to take care of my needs and pursue the things I want. How do we process the Word of God? Do we look inwardly, deeply, and say, where am I in conflict with what God said? No, typically we approach it casually or we don't at all. Instinctively, when we see something in the Word of God that might offend us, we skip over that part or think about how it applies to somebody else. How do we perform our acts of righteousness? I want people to know how much I give, or the fasting, or see me praying. And Jesus says, no, do those things humbly, quietly. And how we pray. Do we think of worry as a sin? We're commanded not to do it. Do we judge other people? Do we think that we're somewhat better than they are because we don't do that or we do this? Do we compare ourselves to others, or are we comparing ourselves to our Lord and Savior, delivering us from evil, not leading us into temptation? Are these things that we take personally and seriously? Not instinctive to do that, but Jesus says through this sermon, if you hear these words and you do them, you put them into practice, your life is going to stand. I don't know why it is that we have such an easy time trusting Jesus for our salvation, but not trusting him to give direction in our lives. I mean, think about it. We put our eternal destiny on his shoulders. We believe that he died on the cross for our sins. And when I stand before God, I've got nothing to lay claim on except the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for me. So I'm trusting him with my eternity. Can we not trust him with our day-to-day? When Jesus said, live this way, take my words and put them into practice. Go out and do them. And if you do, your life will stand. Can we trust him with that? Because Jesus says that those of us who hear his words and do them are like the wise person that builds his house on the rock. But if all we do is listen, if all we do is hear, if all we do is walk out the door and go back to living like everybody else around us, our houses might look okay for a while, but when the storms come, and I guarantee that they will, the houses are going to creak, they're going to tilt, they're going to collapse. The choice is ours. What are we going to have for a foundation for our lives? Jesus gives us this parable, a vivid picture, to help us make that choice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for not only taking care of our eternity by providing atonement, forgiveness, reconciliation through the cross, but thank you also for the instructions that inform us how to live day by day. And help us, God, to be willing to do the hard work of going deep, applying the teachings of our Lord and Savior, knowing that when the storms come, that we can stand firm because our lives are built upon the rock. We thank you for those instructions, for the Spirit that enables us to do it, and the body of Christ that provides encouragement to us as we walk this journey of life. In Jesus' name, amen.